The earth has not changed since the time long ago when our people started to remember. That was when we lived in darkness, and when there were only men and no women. Everything was in darkness then. The lands and the animals and the people could not be seen. Both people and animals lived on earth, but there was no difference between them. People could become animals, and animals could become people, and they all spoke the same language. They lived in the same kinds of homes and hunted the same way. That was the time when magic words were made. Suddenly, a word would become powerful and could make things happen, and no one could explain why. It was always dark, until once a hare and a fox had a talk. "Darkness, darkness," said the fox. He wanted to steal from caches in the darkness. "Day, day," said the hare. He wanted the light of day so he could find a place to feed. And suddenly day came, for the hare's words were more powerful than the fox's. Day came and was replaced by night, and when night had gone, day came again. Light and dark took turns with one another. In those early times, there were only men and no women. There is an old story that tells how women came from men. One time, the world collapsed and was destroyed, and great showers of rain flooded the land. All the animals died, and the world was empty. Then two men grew up out of the earth. They married because there was no one else, and one man sang a powerful song to turn himself into a woman. After a while, they had a child, and they were the first family. But sometimes, in those early ages, women could not have children, so the earth had to help. Women went out searching for children who had grown up out of the earth. A long search was needed to find boys, but there was no need to go far to find girls. So those who were lazy had only girls, and others who were not afraid of walking far had sons. This is the way the earth gave children to the first people. And in that way, the people became many. We Eskimos do not concern ourselves with solving these mysteries. We repeat the old stories the way they were told to us, in the words we remember.
Let me tell you about something that happened to me several years ago. It was winter. We were camping at that time on the sea ice not too far out from shore. Oh, maybe half an hour's walk from the edge of the ice. We built our igloos when we got there. My husband and I, my son and his wife and the children. We had been there several days. The men had caught some seals when my son's harpoon broke. It had been broken and mended once already, and it was time for him to make a new one. I went to get a new piece of wood to make the harpoon. We had left some driftwood in a cache on the shore, and I went to get it. I started out and walked for, a little while, until I couldn't see the igloo behind me anymore. All of a sudden, the wind grew stronger. Out of nowhere, a storm began. Snow whirled all around me. Everywhere I looked, everything had disappeared. I couldn't see where the land stopped and the sky began. I couldn't tell which direction I had come from or in which direction I was going. The whole world had turned white, and it was cold. I remembered times before when I had been caught in storms. Always before when it had happened, I'd been with other people. When I was a little girl, once my father and mother and I were lost in a storm. We stayed out for 3 days. My father turned the sled over. We crawled underneath it and stayed there, while the snow completely covered us. The storm was over, we had to dig our way out. Another time, my husband and I were caught in a storm and we built a small shelter out of snow, a kind of little igloo. I decided not to build a shelter. It was too hard for me to cut snow blocks at my age. So what I did was this. First, I felt around with my feet until I found a little hill. It was just a little one, not even as high as I am. Then I took off my mittens. They were nice, heavy ones made out of caribou fur that my son's wife had made for me. I put them on the side of the small hill and sat down on them. They kept me warm, and they kept the heat from my body from melting the snow under me and getting my clothes wet. I had on just one parka. I was sorry that I didn't have two of them. If I had known that I was going to be caught in a storm, I would have put on another parka. Then I would have had one with the fur inside, and one on top of that with the fur outside. Well, the one I had was a nice warm parka, good and loose, with the fur side in. I pulled my arms out of the sleeves and slipped them inside of the parka. I didn't have anything on underneath it, so my arms helped to keep the rest of me warm. I sat with my back to the wind, and sat, waiting for the storm to end. The wind blew hard and the snow kept falling all around me. I leaned forward a little bit and rested my elbows on my knees, so that if I fell asleep, I wouldn't fall over in the snow. I felt sleepy. I dozed off a little, sitting there in the snow. The top of my parka around the neck was pulled nice and tight, and it was warm inside it. And so I slept. I woke up every so often, and when I felt cramped, I got up and picked up my mittens so I wouldn't lose them, and then I walked around the little hill in a circle. That way the heat from my body circulated inside my parka. It was getting dark as I walked around and getting colder. I thought of all the times I had walked through the snow with my family, with my mother and father when I was little, and with my husband and children when we were traveling from place to place across the ice. When I got tired of walking around, I sat down again on my mittens and tried to go to sleep. When I woke up again, the wind had stopped and the sky was clear. It was light, and from the sun I thought it was about, maybe afternoon. I had been out in the snow almost 2 days. I stood up and shook off the snow, which by that time was almost up to my waist. I looked around and I could tell where I was from the hills on the horizon. I started back towards the igloos, and after walking for a little while, I spotted them in the distance, covered with snow, and with some of my family walking around outside them. When I got home, I sat in the igloo and put my feet up near the stone lamp because they were a little cold. I ate some seal meat and drank some water, although I wasn't very hungry. I hadn't really done anything except sit and sleep and walk around a little. I had been a little hungry the first day I was out in the storm, but as I slept, I forgot all about being hungry. My family wasn't worried about me because they knew I could take care of myself. My son said to me, "Well, you should have built some kind of a shelter out of snow blocks. Why didn't you do that? You would have been warmer." But I was all right without it. My clothes kept me warm. There. That's all I remember about it.
It was that moon of the year when the young caribou shed the velvet of their horns that I knew soon I would give birth to my baby. The camp was dim in the evening light. Even close by, I could hardly see the other tents. As I looked at the men and women moving about in the camp, all I could see were dark, uneven shapes against the yellow-brown tundra. Only the Inukshuk looked human, with their black, clear silhouettes, far off against the sky. Then I saw my husband coming into camp, happy and laughing through his black beard. He was carrying a caribou he had killed. "It is time for you to build the small birth tent," I said. He went out and built the small tent. Then he took all my belongings from our tent and placed them on the ground. You see, we never leave a woman's things in the family tent when she is giving birth in the birth tent. I went into the birth tent alone. No one, not even my mother, could help me give birth to my child. If she did, it would anger the souls of the seals and the caribou and the other animals. If she even touched me, the lives of all the hunters in the camp would be put in danger, and the animals would not let themselves be hunted. It was my first child, and I was a little afraid. But I had good and powerful amulets to help me. I hoped their helping spirits would make the birth easy. But if evil spirits delayed the birth of my baby, an Angatok could be called. Only an Angatok has helping spirits so strong and powerful that they can help a woman when she is giving birth. After I had been in the tent for a while, I knew the time had come. Then an old woman came to me. As the baby was being born, she called out the names of people who had died. The name souls of these dead ones were looking for a new body to live in, so one would come to live in the newborn child. At the moment the baby was born, the name of my father was on the old woman's lips. "Inanek," she was saying, "and this name means the finished one." The baby cried. The old woman repeated the name Inanek. I saw the child was a boy, and I was glad. "Inanek," said the old woman again. "Inanek, Inanek, come give the power of your name to this child, your grandchild." I felt then that little Inanek would become a great hunter as his grandfather had been. I cleaned my little boy with the skin of a small bird. The skin of this bird would make a fine amulet for my son. To make his soul strong, I sang a magic song. "I will walk with legs that are as strong as the legs of a young caribou. I will run with legs that are as strong as the legs of a wolf. I will never go toward the dark. I will go toward the day. I will go toward the day."